4 to 5 people are dying every day in North Carolina. The deaths from overdose have surpassed motor vehicle accidents.
Thanks for joining us for Family Policy Matters. I'm Tracy DeVette Griggs, Communications Director at NC Family, sitting in this week for John Rustin. The opioid epidemic, sadly, continues to be front page news. The CDC recently reported that more people are now dying from opioid overdose than from car accidents. The drug crisis is taking its toll on individuals, families, and entire communities, but there is a segment of our population being hit especially hard, and you may not have even heard about it. Children of parents battling drug addiction are flooding into the foster care system at such a high rate that the system is literally bursting at its seams. Our guest today is Joe Teague, a substance abuse counselor for Wake County Human Services Child Protective Services and founder of Alcohol and Drug Assessment Services in Raleigh, North Carolina. Joe, we are pleased to have you with us today to discuss both the effect this crisis is having on families and children, as well as what on earth we can do to help.
Thank you for having me, Tracy. And I want to thank the North Carolina Family Policy Council for focusing on our most vulnerable population, which is children, particularly those in foster care who've been affected by their parents' substance misuse.
Right. So would you start by giving us a little bit of perspective on the size and scope of North Carolina's foster care system, how many children are in it, for what are the primary reasons, and usually for how long? And is it true that these numbers are increasing?
Yes, it is. I'm going to give you an example. In December of 2015, there were 11,000 children in foster care. From April 2016 to March 2017, there were 16,545. And the year prior to that was 16,266. They haven't done 2018 yet, but that's a considerable jump. And children are in foster care due to abuse, neglect, or dependency, which is abandonment, which affects their safety, permanence, and well-being. More so, 65 to 80% of all child welfare cases involve substance abuse. Mental health issues as well as domestic violence are also huge percentages. And a lot of our clients have all three.
We've heard a lot in recent years about the opioid crisis. What impact is this specifically having on families here in North Carolina?
The impact on the family includes the death of a family member, and a lot of them do not get grief counseling. The family members are separated from each other, and that's very traumatic for children, and the latest research says that that kind of trauma can change their brain chemistry. The family members themselves suffer secondary trauma. There's an increase in the dropout rates from school, an increase in involvement in the legal system, certainly an increase in health care costs, physical, mental, emotional, behavioral, societal issues, and those are just to name a few.
So why do you think the opioid crisis is so much more pervasive in all parts of our society, really, than previous drug problems that we've seen in the past?
The increase in the opiate epidemic and why it has come to the forefront, I believe that one of the main reasons is the demographics has changed. The highest demographic is white males from age 25 to 34. There's not access to enough health care in North Carolina as well as the United States. The federal government and the state government are putting money into the treatment part, recovery part, but it's falling short. Budgets tend to do that at times, but at least we've got $10 million additional to work with. 4 to 5 people are dying every day in North Carolina.
From your perspective as a substance abuse counselor, what unique risks does drug abuse pose to the children of users, and are we going to continue to see some societal effects from having so many children who are in foster care at some point in their lives?
Yes. Some of the unique risks due to drug use of the parents or caretakers. One of the acronyms that is used is ACE, which stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. There can be an increased risk of physical or sexual abuse or neglect, such as they don't have enough food, they're at risk of being homeless, of getting sick, they're not getting medical attention, they have poor social relationships, and there are other issues such as improper supervision, they're left alone, like latchkey kids, improper discipline, and exposure to domestic violence. They are more likely to experience poor physical and mental health and negative social consequences later in life. There's a greater risk of those children using drugs or alcohol, dropping out of school, or joining gangs. If the child is told, I love you, but at the same time told, don't bother me, as an adult, he or she may be attracted to relationships where they are rejected because that's all they know. If a child is told, I'll be there for you and not show up, the child learns to not to want or expect things. They deny their needs because they don't want to be disappointed. Hence, they don't depend on others. If they're told to tell the truth, as long as it doesn't, it's something that the parent wants to hear, truth becomes an ideal and lying becomes reality. In adult life, the child lies automatically without guilt, even when the truth would be easier. If the child is told everything is fine or will be all right, but the family atmosphere is one of hopelessness, depression, and anxiety, they see everything's not all right. As an adult, they can suffer from distortions in their perceptions of reality. They feel powerless over their life. They're often depressed, and they distrust their own judgment. If the parent behaves in a negative or irresponsible way, like embarrassing the child in front of their friends by drunken or erratic behavior, the child is told, don't get mad. It wasn't their fault. They were drunk. So the child learns, well, if I'm drunk or high, I can do whatever I want. There's a great book that I recommend to all of my parents called It Will Never Happen to Me by Claudia Black, and it discusses the roles that different family members play, particularly the children. They are told, don't talk to anybody, don't trust anyone, and your feelings don't count. They take on roles just to survive, and they did not ask for these roles. A child can play the role of the hero child and try to do things perfectly. They're more likely to marry an abuser. The scapegoat child gets blamed for everything. They're more likely to join gangs, drop out of school. The lost child who isolates from their family and others, in other words, they're going to play video games in their room because they do not want to be around drama. And as an adult, the lost child at times has a very high risk of being suicidal or homicidal. The clown child tries to make everybody laugh, but everything's not funny. As an adult, they may be irresponsible or dependent on others. In other words, they didn't grow up. Or the child may play the parent's role. So the term that we use is called they've been parentified. They don't know what being a child is like. And as far as what effect does being in foster care have on the children, both good and bad, it's traumatic for children to be removed from their homes. They often experience a myriad of challenges, emotions and behaviors, such as depression, anxiety. They feel guilty. They have a lot of fear. There can be bedwetting, confusion. They might run away. They have nightmares, feeling of hopelessness. Some become very aggressive in the new home. They have attachment issues. On the good side, when a child goes into foster care, it's encouraging to hear from the social workers that the child is beginning to thrive in their new environment. The child can be a child, be loved, be taken care of, not walk on eggshells. Their grades come up significantly. Their health gets better. Behavior problems remedied in themselves. So they're fed, they're clothed, they feel loved and safe. They have a permanent living environment. Foster parents can help build a child's resilience by setting realistic and fair rules, having routines, and experience celebrations and participate in traditions. And all of these things build resilience. And many children do not suffer some of the things that I've talked about. Somehow on their own, they develop some resilience, but most of them have to be taught and encouraged to have resilience.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org. What about public policy recommendations?
What do you think we could be doing on that level that would give some relief to the growing number of North Carolina families being torn apart by drug abuse?
Exactly. Well, there are policies and programs and community sorts, and I'm going to list just a few. And I think that I feel that North Carolina is becoming very progressive. We have a great Attorney General, Josh Stein, who has really been on board as far as enforcing one of the new acts called the STOP Act, which stands for Strengthening Opioid Use Prevention. He's getting it from that end, as well as Mandy Cohen is the director of the Department of Health and Human Resources for the state. Both of them have been to several workshops that I've been to on the opioid crisis. As far as other things that can be done, a person needs to ask themselves, whether it's in politics, state, federal, layman, what can I do? What can I give or receive? How can I work with others? How can I transform the community? If we want something, we have to go get it. And at some of the workshops, they've had testimonies from parents or loved ones who have lost a child, whether it be a child less than 18 or whether it be an adult child, and it has devastated them, and they've become very strong advocates for helping other family members. It's important for the community coalitions. There is a specific opioid coalition in Raleigh itself, and all of these things are developing 3 to 5 year plans, 5 to 10 year plans based on reality. It's important to get people around you that have similar views. And one of the main things that has been mentioned by Josh Stein and others is this is a public health issue. This is a brain disorder. This is a chemical imbalance in the brain. It is not a character issue. It is a brain disease. We believe that all of the people involved in these programs and policies and community supports, they need to get educated about the devastation of this disease, but they also need to learn the necessary skills in order to help their community and their loved ones.
A lot of what you've discussed so far has to do with the foster care system and how overburdened it is. So I'm going to give you a chance to sort of give us some advice for people who might hear this and be just brokenhearted by what they've heard and they want to get into the foster care system. What would you recommend to them?
Yes. Well, I always tell my family members, I want the adults to go to either Al-Anon or Nar-Anon. Those are support groups for them that help them with their emotional health, physical health, mental health. They work their program, and we let the person with the drug use problem work their program. The AlaKids program is for kids age 8 to 12. The AlaTeen program is for our kids that are 13 to 17 years old, so they're getting their support, too. There's other community supports, any of the recovery meetings. There's also Bible-based recovery meetings called Celebrate Recovery and Reformers Unanimous. There are cognitive behavior support groups that are very helpful. In North Carolina, we have something called Recovering Communities in North Carolina. They're on Capitol Boulevard. They also have meetings for family members, and all of the things that I have mentioned are free, and all of them are about an hour. And also, foster care people, certainly they can be couples, but individuals can be foster parents as well. There's a phone number that they can call, Wake County Human Services, 919-212-7474. Or their website for this, for many of the events that help people become foster parents. The website is foster4wake@wakegov.com. I hope some new people come there.
Thank you, Joe Teague, for your work to help North Carolina families affected by this horrible opioid crisis. And thank you for joining us on Family Policy Matters. You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.